Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you because you are worthy of our thanksgiving. You are worthy of our praise. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for sending us your Son. We thank you for giving us your Spirit. And we pray that you would help us tonight to come to a greater understanding of who you are and what you've done and the things you have in store for us. We pray that you would direct our thoughts by your Holy Spirit and just be with us in the teaching of your word. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are in 1 John, actually in chapter 4, but I wanted to look back near the end of chapter 3 at verse 23. He wrote, "This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us." And then from that point, in chapter 4, John wrote about these two things, about believing in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and loving one another. So the first section of chapter 4 was dealing with a warning to test the spirits. Do they agree with the scripture about who Jesus is and his purpose in coming in the flesh? Or do they not confess Jesus? If someone comes and preaches another Jesus whom the apostles did not preach, then their message comes from another spirit, a different one than the Holy Spirit. So it's very important that we test the things which we hear being taught about our Lord Jesus Christ so that we would not be led astray into believing a spirit of error or deception. We must rely upon the Holy Spirit to teach us the Word of God. He's the one that opens our eyes to the truth. So that section has to do with what we believe about God's Son, Jesus Christ. And then beginning at verse 7, John moves to speaking about our communion that we have with one another and with God. And our fellowship with each other is characterized by love for one another. So this is the third time in this letter that John has focused on our love for each other as the family of God. The first time was in chapter 2, starting at verse 7. From verses 7 through 11, he wrote, "Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." So that was the first section he wrote dealing with our love for each other. And then the next one is chapter 3, starting at verse 10. "By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." So he deals extensively with love in this letter. This subject is one of the strongest subjects that he goes into in the whole letter. It is important for God's children to love each other. It is the way that we show our love for God. The love that John describes is far greater than what the world calls love. Our love comes from God Himself, and it mimics His love for us. We are to love each other the same way that God loves us. So tonight we'll pick up in chapter 4 at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So John addresses the readers of his letter as beloved. We who are in the family of God are loved by God, and the apostle loved God's children as well. His letter was motivated by a sincere love for God's people. Notice that he did not write, "Beloved, you all need to love one another," but he said, "Let us love one another." So he includes himself in the command. It applies to the whole family of God, and John is an example for all those who would teach the Word of God or those who are responsible in any capacity for giving spiritual guidance to others. We have to be as concerned about our own walk as we are the walk of those that we are helping. We need to live what we speak. We need to teach by example. Beloved, let us love one another. This is a commandment. It is not optional. We must love one another. But why must we love one another? What's the reason for it? Yeah?
God is love.
God is love.
And if we love, we dwell with Him, not in God.
Good. Yes. First we see here in verse 7, for love is from God. The love that we are to have for each other comes out of God. He is the source of this kind of love. We are to love because He loves. That's right, though. If you're ever unsure of how you are to love a brother or sister, just take a look at how God has loved you. And we need to do the same. In chapter 3, I already read this verse, but in speaking of the kind of love we are to have for each other, John said, "We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." So that is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ for us. But here in chapter 4, he is speaking of the love of God the Father for us. And we'll see that in the next couple of verses. Love is from God. This is not some kind of human love that we have for each other, but it is divine love. It is love from God. And that is why we need God in order to love like He loves. Those who are not His, those who do not have His love in them, His Spirit in them, cannot love this kind of love. Without Him, it would be impossible for us to truly love anyone. So in order to understand how and why we are to love each other, we need to learn about God's love for us, because He is the source of this love. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. When we love each other like God loves us, we are demonstrating that we are God's children. We are born of God and we really know Him. When we take an honest look at ourselves, if we see this kind of love for fellow believers, then we have assurance that we are born of God and that we know Him. But on the other hand, if this love is not present in us, we see the other side. The one who does not love does not know God. So if someone does not love Christians, that would indicate that he is not one. Our love for each other is a test of whether or not our faith is genuine. Being born of God and knowing Him and loving His people, all of these things go together. If any one is absent, then the other two would be as well. We must love one another if we are born of God and if we know Him. They all come at once.
You'd have one with the Holy Spirit and one without the Holy Spirit if you couldn't love another Christian. Then you would know that he's not been saved and sealed, because a person that's been saved and sealed would love the brethren.
Right.
Because we're God's love shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which is given to us.
Yes. But the next point here is that none of us loves perfectly. We all have room to grow, probably a lot of room to grow in this respect. We are still in this sinful flesh. We all fail to love as much as we ought to. It's not always easy to love others, even other Christians. We aren't all as lovely as we could be. And so sometimes we get hurt, or we get too focused on our own things, and our love for each other can be neglected. Sometimes we have just personality clashes, or we take something that was said the wrong way. And so it's something we need to work at. We need to actively pursue this love for each other. If we are God's children, we have to love one another. So we should not avoid each other when something is wrong, but let us confront the issue, whatever it may be, and deal with it. Get past these things and back into fellowship with each other. Sometimes this may involve us having to work through our problems with another person, or sometimes the problem is something within ourselves that the Lord needs to work on us. So let us turn to the Lord for help. We must depend upon Him. He is the source of love, and He is the one who will help us to love all of His children the same way that He loves us. And the last part of this verse 8 says, "For God is love." God is love. That is His nature. His eternal nature is love. He always was love. He always will be love. God is eternally love. He did not begin to love at some point of time, and He will never stop loving. Even before creation, when there only was God, God still was love. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, this triune God loved Himself. And so He always had love present. Love is behind all that God does and all that He says. His works demonstrate His love. Everyone who is born of God and has His love poured out in their hearts will love those who are His. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Later in chapter 5 we see that those who love the Father will love the Father's children. So it is His love within us that enables us to love one another with the same kind of love. Again, if we don't have His love in us, we can't love one another like He loves us. Anything on these two verses? Okay. Verse 9. "By this," or "in this, the love of God was manifested in us." This is the way that God put His love on display. This is how God's love was made apparent. It became visible. "In this, by this, the love of God was manifested." In us, or it could be in our case, or Some translations say toward us. So how did he show his love for us? How did the Father love us? Well, that, yes, he sent his Son. That's the last part of the verse. That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world. Now it is true that God loved his people beforehand, before he sent his only begotten Son into the world. Specifically in the Old Testament, we see that God loved Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their offspring, the nation of Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, Moses said, "The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." So time after time, they rejected him, and yet he continued to love them. But the greatest demonstration of God's love was what we looked at yesterday. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, his only begotten Son, into the world. So that is the greatest demonstration of his love, him sending his Son into the world. We looked the last couple of weeks into what the false prophets would teach. They would deny the basic truth that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. And so they would either say that Jesus was not really the Son of God, or they would say that he was not really a man. They do not confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. But that is false teaching. So the love of God overcomes that. The verb here to send means to send out on a mission. So there was a purpose to God sending his only begotten Son into the world. It was part of his plan. It pleased the Father to send his Son to die for us. Not that the Father delighted in the death of his Son, but it was part of his plan. And he was pleased that Christ's death accomplished the salvation of all of his people. In verse 9 here, we see the effect of his death as it applies to us. And that is that we might live through him, so that we might live through him. God sent his Son to die so that we might have life. We were dead. We were dead in our sins, but Christ's death brought life to us. Now, Paul states it this way in Ephesians chapter 2. It said, "But you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." So did you notice God's love in that passage there? It's in verse 4. He did all of these things because of his great love with which he loved us. We were not righteous, lovely people. We did not deserve God's love in any way. But God's love is based upon his grace. It is something that we cannot earn. He sent His only begotten Son into the world. This Son in whom He delighted, this Son whom He loved, His only Son. He had no other begotten sons to send. He sent Him into the world to live and to die as a man. John 3:16 goes along with this very well. It says, "For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Truly God is love, and His works are done in love. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So we would never have known true love if God did not love us. We love because He first loved us. If God had not loved us first, we would never have come to love Him. He initiated the relationship by loving us even when we were dead in our transgressions. God continues to demonstrate His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love is unconditional. It does not depend upon how good we are, or how educated we are, or what things we do, or how many times we fast or pray, but He just loves us because He loves us. It does not depend upon us. There is nothing we could ever do to earn His love in any way. He loved us, and His love for us will never end. So Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is an eternal love. It will never end. Our situations cannot change it. Powers that we can't see cannot change His love for us. So in verse 9, we saw the purpose of Christ's death as it applies to us, so that we might live through Him. And now here in verse 10, we see how it applies to God the Father. He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is love. Our sins are so many that we could never count them all. Even if we could count all of them we are aware of, there are countless others that we are not aware of. So we fully deserve God's eternal wrath, and yet in His love, He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means that God is satisfied with His Son's sacrifice on behalf of our sins. Some translations say the atonement or the atoning sacrifice. It is the sacrifice that pleased God, that turned His wrath away from us sinners as His Son experienced this wrath. So our Lord's sacrifice of His own body has completely satisfied the Father, so that now God can forgive us guilty sinners without compromising His justice and righteousness. There is no propitiation or atoning sacrifice apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that we could do about our own sins. There is no sacrifice we could bring to God to satisfy Him or please Him. Propitiation is not a work that we are able to do. It is something that Christ has already done. It's only His sacrifice that could please His Father. So in these two verses, we see two purposes that God had in sending His Son. The first was to give us life, that we might live through Him. We have spiritual life. We have eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. And secondly, it was to satisfy God the Father. Christ bore His wrath for our sins and turned His wrath away from us. This is love, and our love for one another is the same kind of love that God has for us. Now we cannot give eternal life, and we cannot satisfy the Father for any sins. And so our love does not have the effect that Christ's love has for us. But in loving one another, it's the same kind of love. So we should be concerned about being a spiritual blessing to each other. We should strive to build each other up, strengthen and encourage each other, encourage each other to walk closer to the Lord. And at the same time, we should also be concerned about pleasing God by the way that we love. So our love, it's directed toward each other, but its purpose is twofold. It's to help each other, and it's also to please God. Any questions or comments on these two verses? We may get done early tonight. One more, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. It could read, since God loved us in this way, we also ought to love one another. We are under obligation to love one another because we have experienced God's love for us. We must love each other because God loves us. This is the basis for our fellowship, our union with each other. It is all because we are in Christ. Without Him, without His love, there's nothing that really joins us together. We don't have true fellowship without Christ. In a sense, I mean, we share some similar experiences just being human. All of mankind has some kind of common ground, but our fellowship with each other is because we are in Christ and because He loves us. And so we need to have the same love for each other. We also ought to love one another. We saw this same word, I think it was back in chapter 3. It has to do with a debt, or it is a something we owe, or an obligation that we have. We are obligated to love one another. We owe it to our Father to love all of His children. And so if we're ever having trouble loving a particular Christian, we should remember just how unlovely we were when He loved us. We were enemies of God, and yet He loved us and sent His Son into the world to save us. And it is only God who can give us this love for each other. He is the source of this love. Love is from God, and God is love. And so we must ask Him, rely upon Him to work this love within our hearts. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul wrote, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. The love of God and of Christ is the greatest example of love that we have. Our love for each other is to be the same kind of love that God has for us. So there in Ephesians 5, we are to walk in love. It's to be characteristic of our daily lives. It's not something that we are to just be concerned with every now and again on occasion. But it's to be our walk, our pattern of life, our conduct. Elsewhere, Paul wrote, let everything that you do be done in love. It's all inclusive. It has to be our motivation for our actions. And it comes out of God's love being shed abroad in our hearts, poured out within us. His love moves us to love each other. Yes?
There's a benefit, too, when we His love is perfected in us.
Yes.
More and more and more. Do you think it would be actually manifest everybody?
Yes, and it helps even those who are not yet believers. For one thing, it is evidence so that all may know that we are His disciples. So they see our love and they are convinced that we are God's children. In John 17, Jesus speaks about His love for us and our love for Him and for each other. And I don't even know where to pick up here. This whole chapter is Jesus' prayer. We have time. Why don't I just read the chapter? John 17, Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up His eyes to heaven, He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You, even as You gave Him authority over all flesh, that to all whom You have given Him, He may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I glorified You on the earth, having accomplished the work which You have given Me to do. Now, Father, glorify Me together with Yourself, with the glory which I had with You before the world was. I have manifested Your name to the men whom You gave Me out of the world. They were Yours, and You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. Now they have come to know that everything You have given Me is from You, for the words which You give Me, I have given to them. And they received them and truly understood that I came forth from You, and they believe that You sent Me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom You have given Me, for they are Yours, and all things that are Mine are Yours, and Yours are Mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to You. Holy Father, keep them in Your name, the name which You have given Me, that they may be one even as We are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in Your name, which You have given Me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to You, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have My joy made full in themselves. I have given them Your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask You to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As You sent Me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. But for their sakes I sanctify Myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but also for those who believe in Me through their word, that they may all be one, even as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be in Us, so that the world may believe that You sent Me. The glory which You have given Me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as We are one. I in them and You in Me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that You sent Me and love them, even as You have loved Me. Father, I desire that they also whom You have given Me be with Me where I am, so that they may see My glory which You have given Me, for You loved Me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known You, yet I have known You, and these have known that You sent Me, and I have made Your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which You loved Me may be in them, and I in them. I guess what I was trying to, what brought me to that was in verse 20 and 21. He prays that we may all be one as the Father is in Him and He is in the Father, that we also may be in them, so that the world may believe that the Father sent Him. And so our love is a testimony to the world. It draws people to Christ.
I think that is so beautiful. I mean, He's not only praying for the apostles that were with Him, He's praying for those that will believe the word.
Yes, it is.
He was praying for us in the garden, for us too, at that time. Back then. Because he already knew who's going to what.
The Lord knows those who are His. He knew. Yes, He prayed for those who would come to believe. And that is us today. It is those throughout all history, those who come after us, if the Lord should tarry. And we know that He is at the right hand of the Father. He is making intercession for those who come to God through Him. He always lives to pray for those who come to faith in God. So He did then, and He is still praying for us now. Yes. And that is another example of His love. And that's something else we can do to show our love for each other, is pray for one another. Yes. Okay, anything else? Good? Okay. Father, we thank You for Your love. We ask for Your help. Help us to love each other. Help us not to be selfish or too concerned with our own things, but help us to look out for the needs of those others in Your family. We pray that we would just show Your love, that our love would be genuine, that it would be purposeful, that we would have in mind that we are doing loving others because You love us, to draw others to You, to glorify Your name, and to show the world that You are God. You are the living God, the God of love, and all other false gods do not love. They do not live. They cannot love. So we thank You for Your love. We pray that You be with us, that You would just help us. We thank You for sending Your Son into the world. We thank You especially as we remember His birth this time of year. We thank You for all that was involved in Him leaving the joy He had in Your presence and coming here to this fallen world to show Your love for us. We thank You so much. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.